Well, praise the Lord. It's good to see everybody, and especially ladies that are already in for the women's conference. This is a week that I just get out of the way. Because my wife and my daughter, they are consumed with Kindle of the Flame, and my assistant and my Lynette's assistant too. She is, I don't even have any assistant, but that's okay. She comes in and tries to get what she can done right toward the end of the day. She has been really busy with her and Lynette have been dealing with all kinds of things. So I'm here tonight to talk to you about something I call it walking tall in God. Now, you see, that's a statement from my generation. If you was walking tall, it's because you were confident. Somebody said, "Man, you walking tall." That meant that you was confident. Now, probably in these day and time, it probably be they have a swagger. That means they're confident. Years and years and years ago, some people, that's before this building was ever even built, they told us about a Mexican restaurant to go to. So on a Sunday after service, we decided to go. I think we were having our meetings over in the NRC. We had to set it up every Saturday night and tear it down every Sunday night. Any of you guys help on that? I got several of you that helped on that. We did that. So we went there. Now, that's back in the day when I was wearing suit and tie. Thank God I don't have to do that no more. And when we walked in, I looked around and I said, uh-oh. Because there was guys sitting there and they had knives hanging on their belts. And I looked at the crowd and I knew, uh-oh, this is. And I grabbed her hand. Boy, I squared my shoulders, you know, and I got that walk. Now, you guys know what I'm talking about. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? You got to get that walk. And I told her, I said, order, eat, fast. We're getting out of here. Because we were the only Caucasian couple in that place. And I tell you, it was, but I put on my walk. And every guy in this building right now knows what I'm talking about. Now, you can act like you don't, but you do, okay? In the Christian life, we got to maintain our confidence, both in God and in our abilities, and walk tall. Now, let's look at the book of Jeremiah. Somebody said, well, what do you want to look at Jeremiah for? Oh, it's full of sadness and woe and sorrow and so forth. Yeah, it was. It is. But yet, the prophet Jeremiah said this in Jeremiah 17:7. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. In the midst of whatever is going on, we have to constantly put our trust and our hope and our confidence in God. You know, now some people, they change when the wind changes. And when their circumstances are going great, man, they're high. Oh, boy, but then all of a sudden, something happens and you see them. And they look like that they had lost their last friend. You know, the circumstances get bad. They get depressed. They get down. And how many have found out that life is sort of like a roller coaster? We have our ups and we have our downs. Now, I realize that, you know, I didn't get everybody on that one. But if you haven't been there, then you haven't lived very long. You know, if you ever notice that some people don't know how to handle it. And you see these people, they're, you know, when it's everything's good, it's great. But if they've had a downhill ride, you listen at them talk, and they're talking about, well, yesterday, man, I was flying high, but today I could hardly get out of bed. Man, I used to feel so close to God. Now I don't know whether he's even around or not. I don't feel him at all. They get that whine in their voice, you know. And they might say, everything was great yesterday, but today I'm in the biggest mess in my life. And then they might talk about, yesterday I was shouting, but today I don't know what. I don't know whether to cry or to run. You know, we got to realize that there's different seasons in life. Life often has a normal ebb and flow. Now, for you that haven't been here on my Wednesday nights, I like to talk on Wednesday night. I just like to make it like I'm sitting down with a conversation, but it's a one-way conversation. And I like to talk about things that you can use the same principles in the natural life and in the spiritual life. And so there are seasons that we go through. There are seasons when everyone's with you, and there are seasons, times when nobody's with you. And it's normal for life to have its ups and downs. You know what? Things change. People change their mind. They might tell you they're going to do something, but they change their mind. They're not doing it now. And you were depending on it. That can cause you a problem. Unless you look at it and say, okay, that's life. God's still God. And I'm going to make it. It's a matter of you choosing the proper attitude. I don't care whether it's in the natural or whether it's in the spiritual side. People promise you things and then they break those promises. You know, that's a question that we got to ask ourselves. How are we going to handle things when things don't go right? What are we going to do? Do you realize how you handle a situation when something's not going right will determine your destiny? The way you respond will determine what happens. You know, I don't know how it is nowadays, but I know our coach playing football, if somebody even swung at you, he said, turn around and walk away. Now that's, for a guy like me, that's hard to do because I'm a, don't you mess with me. That's Tad over there. He's played basketball with me. You don't make a lay-in on me. But, you know, because most of the time they catch you and they don't get the first guy. And it could cause you a problem, cause the team a problem. You have to understand that whatever happens, good, bad, ugly, whatever, you have to hold on to your confidence of the promises of God. And in the natural, you have to hold on to the confidence of your ability and your talent. Now, the word confidence, it's got the first definition is a feeling or consciousness of one's powers or of reliance. And then The second, it says, faith or belief that one will act in a proper and effective way. And then a third definition was this, the quality or state of being certain. Now, I like that definition. The quality or state of being certain. You know, in every area of life, confidence is the quality of state or being certain is really necessary if you're going to be successful. You got to believe in yourself. You got to believe in your ability. You got to believe you can before you can. I had a coach tell me that one time. He said, you got to believe you can do it before you'll ever accomplish it. You know, now I played ball a long, 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 long time ago. I graduated from high school in 58, so you can fit 1958, so you can figure out. But if I would get beat playing defense, maybe playing a defensive back position, if I would get beat and guy caught a pass, I'd tackle him. When I would get up, I would look at him and I'd say, you better be glad you caught that one because that's the last one you're going to get. Now, you see, that's my confidence, right? The ability, confident quality or state of being certain. I was certain that wasn't going to happen to me again. Number one, I was faster than he was. I just missed it. That's all there was to it. But I didn't miss it the rest of the game, and he didn't catch another pass. Because I had confidence in my ability. You have to have confidence in your ability in the natural if you're going to be successful, but you have to have confidence in what this word says. And you have to believe it, and you have to act like it. You know, even when I played here in intramurals with Tad and them until I was 64, basketball, and Tad probably tell you, we'd have a huddle and I'd say, we got this one. We don't have to even worry about it. Just play, just have fun. Because the way they walked back to their huddle, they were beat. The way they walked to the bench, they you could tell. You can tell when a team is beat by their attitude, by the way they walk back to the bench. Hello. You can tell in the natural, you can tell when somebody is not confident is because they're doing everything they can not to have to tackle the situation. Come on now, let's go. You can't let go of your confidence just because something didn't go right. We're not always going to have everything going right in life. And when it doesn't, what are you going to do? Are you going to wring your hands and say, oh, what are we going to do now? Or are you going to say, well, I learned this from my dad. I grew up with in his house. Just another opportunity. I'd say, Dad, what are we going to do now? He'd say, just another opportunity to prove God's word works. Either you can take that attitude or you can take the defeatist attitude and be defeated. See, it's time that you realize that your confidence is vitally important if you're going to succeed. You have to have the quality or state of being certain. You can tell sometimes the way people maybe say, well, I believe in God, but the way they phrase it and the tone of their voice tells you that they're not really confident. They don't really have the confidence in what they're saying. They're saying it because they think that's what they're supposed to say. Well, it is what they're supposed to say, but they have to believe it, and there have to be some confidence in it. Being confident in life is one of the keys to having a successful life, both naturally and spiritually. I don't know whether y'all listening good or whether you're done going to sleep. But I am preaching a lot better than I'm getting the response. No. Now I got everybody's attention again, so let's go. You know, have you ever seen somebody, they had good skills and they had ability, but because they liked the confidence, they had no quality or state of being certain. They didn't believe in themselves, and they never did well. The only thing that keeps those kind of people from being successful is confidence. Yes. Hello? Anybody ever seen anybody like that? They had a lot of ability, even talent. The only thing that keeps them from being successful is that they don't have confidence. Now, I've told you this story before, but I'll tell it again because it works right here. I was going to Bible college in 1950. Let's see, this would have been 50. I started in 50, September 58, 59. There'd be the fall of 1960, my sophomore year. There was two carloads of us. We drove up from Waxahachie, where Southwestern, they call it Nelson University now. All of us old guys don't like them changing the name, but they did. Anyway, we would drive up, and we worked on the freight dock at Merchants Fast Motor Freight in Dallas, Texas. And we were called breakout boys. So what we did was, when these city trucks would go out all through Dallas picking up freight, and we would break it out and send it to whichever semi it needed to be loaded into to go to get to that place. And so old Sims, he was the foreman, and he yelled at you all the time. I didn't pay no attention to him. I just did what I knew I had to do. I didn't hardly ever get yelled at, but he yelled at a lot of the guys. And I heard him coming down the line and say, "Can you do such and such? Can you do this? Can you do this?" I even forget exactly what it was now, but it was had something to do with doing some loading and unloading some stuff. And everybody was saying no. Well, on both sides, on this side and this side, were guys. We were all in Bible school together. And they were all saying, no, I can't do that. I can't do that, Sims. I can't do that. He asked me, he said, "Hagen," I said, "Yeah, Sims, what?" He said, "Can you do it?" I said, "Yeah, I can." Well, he went on by, and the old boy over here, old Brent, he was over here. He looked at me and said, "Hagen, you don't know how to do that." I said, "Well, I know a little bit about it. Besides that, we got a library." Hey, you young kids, we didn't have no internet back in that day. We had a library. You had to go in the library and look it up. I said, "And then I know a guy that does some work like that, and I'm going to call him. When I get here at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, I know what to do." And they said, "Well, you still don't know." I said, "You know what?" I said, "Do you believe what the Bible says?" Now, here's where confidence comes in. "Well, yeah. I said, "Well, the Bible says I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." And it didn't say spiritual. It said all things. I said, I'm basing what I just said on that scripture and on my natural ability to get the job done. I did, and things worked out good for me. But you see, it's because, that, first of all, I had the confidence that I could do it naturally. But basically, I basically based it on the scripture. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You see, many times you need to grab a hold of the scripture, and that is your foundation, and then your natural abilities on top of that. but it's because of your foundation in the Word that makes you to be able to accomplish. Now look at David. David maintained a confidence in God. Psalm 27, 1 through 3. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. Even if he's attacked, he is still confident that the Lord is going to deliver him. We see that confidence in the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They went in the fire furnace. They said, we believe that our God is going to deliver us. They had a confidence. Hello. Now look at Psalms 57, 6. 57, 6. I'm reading the NLT. My enemies have set a trap for me. I'm weary from distress. They dug a deep pit in my path, but they themselves have fallen into it. My heart is confident in you. Oh God, my heart is confident. No wonder I can sing your praise. Now he just said about what all was happening to him and what was going on. He was weary from distress and so forth, but my heart is confident. Oh God, my heart is confident. No wonder I sing your praises. He's talking about singing praises when everything's looking bad. You know, I think of another scripture, a fellow by the name of Paul and his partner, Silas. They were in the prison, not just in prison, they were in the innermost part of the prison. Their backs were bleeding because they had been beaten with whips. And they're singing praises to God. Most people would have been whimpering and crying, saying, well, God, we out here preaching, doing what you told us to do, and look what it got us. But that wasn't their attitude, because their confidence it was in God. And what happened when they were singing and praises God? They got delivered. That's what happened. See, David was confident that the Lord would help him. One of the reasons he could be confident is because the Lord had always delivered him. One of the most difficult situations he faced was Goliath the giant. And he was just a 17-year-old kid whenever that happened. But time and time again, anytime he faced a situation, he reminded himself, I can be confident that God will take care of me. That's just something you've got to do if you're going to be successful. In the natural, if you're going to be successful, you've got to put in the time and the effort to learn your trade or whatever it is, and then be confident that you can accomplish it. All of you know that Cameron, my grandson, and in fact, I drove race cars in 79 and 80, and he gets in that car and straps in. I remember back in 79, that old street stock I had. When I strapped in there, I was confident. I believed in my ability, and I was confident that I was going to run the race and win. Hello, did I always win? No, but I it wasn't because I wasn't confident. It's just because my car wasn't running good, or I made mistakes driving. But what I'm trying to say is, no matter what it is, we have to have a confidence, or don't even get involved. Hello? I've been doing this for 67 years. Actually, I've been doing it all my life. I was born one Sunday and in church, my dad's church the next Sunday. But I've seen people, they talk a good talk, but they're not really confident. You can tell it. In the sports world, people can talk, but hey, it don't make no difference what you say. What you do on the field's what counts. Actually, it don't make any difference what anybody says. It's what they do in the middle of the crisis. Then you find out whether they really believe God or not, or whether they have confidence, or whether they're just mouthing words because they think that's what they're supposed to do. Time and time again, if you look at the life of David, he reminds himself, as you read, especially in the Psalms, he wrote a lot of the Psalms. He didn't write all of them, but he wrote a lot of them. And he continually reminded himself of what God had done for him in the past. When you face a situation, remember what God has done for you. That'll give you confidence. The old singers and band used to sing a song, "He'll Do It Again." Anybody remember that? I loved that song. You may not know how, you may not know when, but he'll do it again. Every time I face a situation, doesn't matter what it is, I remind myself, God will do it again. He's done it once, he'll do it again. If he did it in the Old Testament, he did it in the New Testament, and he's still doing it today, you just got to believe it and have confidence that he'll do it. During times like this, David was always confidently praising God. No matter what happens, we have to keep our confidence in what God said. And you go with my deal, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That was my dad's statement, I got it from him. Now, I got about 10 more minutes. Let's look at the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians 5:6. So we're always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not seeing. Yes, we are fully confident. We would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. Now, if you'll notice, Paul made the statement, we are always confident. Paul always made some statements. Then he went on to say, we're fully confident. He made the statement that we're more than conquerors. He made the statement, he was in the prison, right? When he wrote Philippians to the Philippian church, he was in the prison, and he wrote, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. And he's in prison. He was confident in his God. He was walking tall in God. Now, did the Apostle Paul have an easy life? Well, if you've ever read 2 Corinthians 11:20-28, you'll find out that he did not have an easy life. He was left for dead. He was beaten with rods. He was beaten with the cat of nine tails, the same kind of whip that Jesus was beaten with. He was stoned. And yet, he says, we're more than conquerors in Christ. That's his confidence. We always remain fully confident that God is able to do what he said. Confidence, once again, a quality of being certain. That's what confidence is. That's actually a good definition for what faith is. Being certain that it's going to happen when you don't see it, feel it, taste it, touch it, whatever. You still are confident that it's going to happen. In fact, I don't think you can have faith without having confidence. Come on now. Now look at the writer of Hebrews. I think maybe it was Paul, but when you study all this, like I did in school, most scholars believe that if it wasn't Paul, it was one of his proteges because it has the Paulinian language. Now here it is. He says, Hebrews 10:35, "So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings. Patient endurance is what you need, so you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised." You notice it says, don't throw away your confident trust. But then it said, patient endurance is what you need. We live in a world that wants everything right now. But you got to have some patience and you got to endure. I could preach another sermon on that, but I won't because I see it's 5 minutes. When many people start out with great confidence, but then they lose that confidence. You know, we declare God's going to do something. But then when things start going south on us, we lose our confidence. In the natural, our expectations and excitement was high, but it begins to wane. People grow weary. You got to keep believing, and I don't care how far behind you are. You got to keep believing. Keep confidence that we tend to forget sometimes what God has said for us because we get distracted by this, that, and something else. And that's in the natural, we can get distracted. I know several years ago, they interviewed a guy who was leading the race, one of the races, I don't know whether it was ARCA or NASCAR or one of the other ones. Anyway, he's out leading the race. He goes in the corner and hits the wall. And they ask him what happened. He said, "Well, I lost my focus." He was out in front. Nobody was challenging him. And so he got too complacent, and he missed his mark that he was supposed to let off the gas and make the turn, and he lost his focus. The enemy loves to get us distracted and get us losing our focus. But you got to stay focused on what God said. I don't care what somebody, the minute you start believing God, somebody's going to come tell you, "Well, their grandma was believing God for the same thing and they didn't get it." What makes you think you're going to get it? If you let that thought in your mind, then you begin to lose your confidence. But you got to throw that out and say, "It don't make no difference." You don't have to tell them that, but you have to say it to yourself. "That doesn't make any difference. That's them. This is me." Hello. In the spiritual, the enemy attacks us. He wants to destroy us. Now, we need to decide to persevere and maintain our confidence. Hebrews 3:14. "For if we're faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ." That's the NLT. The NIV says, "We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had when we first started." We've got to realize that the reward comes after you have accomplished something. And sometimes that requires a lot of hard work in the natural, and in the spiritual it requires a lot of just standing and believing God when it doesn't look like anything's happening. I've been there and done that in both areas. Now, Keep holding on your confidence in God at all times. Let me quickly close this. And first, we've got to be confident that we keep our heart right with God at all times. That means that in 1 John 3:21, it says, "Dear friends, if we don't feel guilt, we can come to God with bold confidence." It's hard to come to God with bold confidence if you haven't been doing what the Word of God tells you to do, coming to church, reading the Word, praying, giving of offerings. Come on now. I'm doing good now. Second, we've got to be confident by asking God according to His will in prayer. 1 John 5:14. "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us." Knowing the truth of God's Word helps us know the will of God. In fact, James, and you read after James, he said we ask amiss, or we ask, you know, some people, they don't know the will of God, so they pray if it's the will of God. Well, they no use to pray if it's not the will of God. He's not going to do it for you anyway. If you know it's the will of God, you can pray with confidence. We must hold on to our confidence in God no matter what. Keep our heart right with God. Make sure we ask according to the proper asking. Then be confident. You know, I was about 6 years old. One night, Dad closed a meeting out in West Texas. We were driving back to McKinney, to his mom's house, my grandmother's house. He stopped, put gas in the car. And I saw what he did, and I said, "Dad, you didn't put much gas in." He said, "Well, I used all the money I had." And then he prayed and asked the Lord to help us get home. I watched that gauge go to zero, or E, and the car kept on running. The point here I want to make is, he was the same in that car as he had been on the platform preaching. Nothing changed. I'm talking about being confident of God no matter what happens, in the good times, the bad times, and in the in-between times. When we feel good and when we don't feel good. Let's decide that we're going to walk tall with God. This is time we need to decide whether we're going to walk tall or not in God. I like the old song. We used to sing it all the time. I don't know whether Andrew can hear me or not, but "Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God." That's what we do. We are confident, so we stand on the promises of God. Everybody stand. It's 8 o'clock right now. Actually, it's 8:01, so I went over time, but that's all right. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Stay confident no matter what happens. You can use these same principles to help you in the natural life as well as spiritual. Heavenly Father, I talked to the people tonight about a few things that I believe would help them in their life, both naturally and spiritually. I pray that you'd minister to each one of them in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you happen to be in this place tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you know what it is to live for God, but you have messed up and detoured and got off track, and you just need to rededicate your life, the ladies are over here, the men are over on this side. If that's you, if you'll come down here, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, if you'll come to the front right now, they'll pray with you. Hey, ladies, tomorrow night, it starts, your kindle of flame starts. And in fact, I think, didn't you say that after service they can go, you can go out there after service and pick up your badge if you pre-registered, or you can go out and register.
Tell them if they have their badge and they want to attend class in the morning, if they don't have anything in the morning, wear their badge, they can come sit in.
Oh, if you have, the dean of Rhema, Tad Hergrich, he's also on the pastoral staff, he said if you have your badge, any of you ladies have your badge, and you want to attend a class, if you have that badge on, they'll let you in the class. You can attend a class at Rhema because it doesn't start till tomorrow night, and some of you are here. All right? Now, there's one other thing. Now, if you need prayer, you get down here to the front and they'll pray with you. The rest of you, we need to leave the auditorium as quick as possible because they're going to have an usher training meeting. So I was told to say that. I did. But hey, please, please do what I say or I'm going to catch it. Okay? Any of you guys know what I'm talking about? God bless you. We'll see it. They'll see you ladies at the conference. I'll see you Sunday morning right here. God bless.